This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell. We're joined by Katie Morrison from the sports department at the Daily Item of Lynn. Katie, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
All right, Katie, this is your first interview, you're saying?
It is. I think it's the first time I've been on the other side of the microphone, so it's definitely a new experience.
So you're getting grilled right now, but you won't be getting grilled for long because Friday is your last day at the Item. You're moving on. So just, I guess, tell us about that. Almost 3 years at the Item, and we've got a bunch of different things here, but tell us about that move from the Item to Clark University.
So, I mean, I feel like, all right, so I'm going to be working in the athletic department of Clark University. I'm going to be working with the athletic director and the sports information director. And, you know, I have pretty much my entire career, which is funny to say because I'm only 25, but, you know, I've done internships and this was my first real job out of college was with the Item. And I've worked at night, I've worked in media, I've worked on, you know, kind of the outside of these teams, covering them, and I've kind of always felt like I wanted to kind of make that transition to be on the inside and to help a program grow and succeed from within. So this was a great opportunity. I have some like local connections to Clark. I used to like go to their games when I was younger because I grew up in Western Mass, and so I'm excited to get started. But there's a lot of things I'm gonna miss about the Item.
Yeah, well, I know you've done a great job, and I mentioned that to you the other day, but the other piece is that I would go to a soccer game in the fall, but not a lot, but I would get there, or whatever, field hockey, who knows what it was. Could be a horrible night, could be a wonderful evening, who knows, but there you are. You know, you're either writing and doing the photos, by the way, sometimes, which is which I can appreciate that, too.
Yeah.
I think you helped me out, taught me a little more about my camera here, so we can... But anyways, it was always nice to see you because you're always, you were always so positive and so on. And that's the whole key to covering high school sports for sure.
Definitely. I feel like, you know, it can be a thankless job if you don't love it. You know, it's crappy hours or bad hours. I guess we should cut that out. but, you know, they're terrible hours and, you know.
Backspace. We've cleared it out. Don't worry, Kate. That'll never get on.
All right, good. But, you know, it can be a tough job, but when you really love what you're doing and what you're covering, it makes it worth it. That's, you know, that's the part that makes it fun. And, you know, I really loved getting to know the communities, really feeling, you know, getting a feel of what the different communities are like and the different teams and schools. And, you know, it wouldn't matter whether it was 30 degrees and pouring out or if it was a beautiful day. I mean, if I'm watching a good game, it's kind of all the same to me, although I would definitely prefer if it was comfy out. But, you know, that's the stuff that I'm definitely going to miss is just being able to get out there amongst these teams and communities and really get a feel for what they're like.
Well, and there's something to be said, too, for going to a school and getting very familiar with all those programs and doing it from a different angle at a different level as well. Now I'm thinking of myself from last fall. I think one of the things was it came at the very end of the year, and I know Danvers is not in your coverage area, but they ended up winning the girls won a state title in girls soccer, and it was kind of neat to be able to go out there and see some of their games and follow, you know, do some features with the girls and the coaches and so on, and then see them win a state title. That's always nice. I think the day-to-day stuff is always nice too, because you always know that, you know, these guys are just, they're doing it because they love to teach kids how to play sports, and the games are, you know, most people have it all in the right perspective and so on. But what are some teams or some things that you kind of remember over the years, whether it be fall, winter, or spring?
Well, I guess my first state championship team that I covered was from St. Mary's, which is not surprising since we've had quite a few of them. And it was their baseball team in, what was that, 2015. And that was a really fun experience because, you know, I got to watch from the beginning. I started in, you know, early to mid-April, and so kind of just jumped right in, and it was the first time I really got to watch a team come together and, like, really find itself and then, you know, play at a high level at the end of the year, and just seeing these kids who, you know, put in so much work, how it paid off for them and how happy they were. I remember taking some of my first, like, really good pictures, I feel, was during that state championship where, you know, I just remember the pitcher, I can't remember his name, but he just threw his glove in the air and was so excited, and just that capturing like that pure raw emotion was really fun and really kind of got me hooked, I feel like, on doing the job. You know, I had a lot of good times at St. Mary's, the boys basketball team. They won, you know, they went to back-to-back state title games out in Springfield, which was a fun experience both times. And before that, in 2016, it was when they won, they had this game at the Garden against Cathedral. That was just one of the best basketball games I've ever seen. You know, it was last couple seconds, they had, you know, it was Joe Fama, he was a senior, he was inbounding the ball, he makes this perfect pass to an eighth grader, Matt Cross, you know, and he puts it up, and they win the game over their rival, and it was just so intoxicating, I guess, the feeling.
Well, that little eighth grader was, what, 6'8", or something like that?
Yeah, little eighth grader was, you know, the biggest kid on the court.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was fun, too, just seeing, you know, a kid who, when I was in eighth grade, you know, I couldn't have handled that pressure. So seeing these kids who are, you know, so young be able to step up in those positions, it's a pretty cool thing to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, somehow the soccer, being on the sidelines at a few soccer games in the fall reminds me of being with you. But also in the spring, too, or the summer, we did some softball and baseball. We were at some same baseball games as well. I think spring's the toughest, I'll be honest with you. You know what I mean? You know, the weather probably isn't good, although there were some wonderful weather, I think, this year in the fall and the springtime. But those are baseball games and softball games and so on.
Yeah, I agree that spring is the toughest to cover. It's probably I don't really have a least favorite season, but it would be third, you know, in my ranking. I love the, three out of three is the nice way to put it. You know, it's cold, it's raw. Sometimes you're out there at 3-hour baseball games where the kids can't throw strikes, you know, with little schools. But it's like, going through that, sitting through those games where you just want to go home and you're just wishing that you were in an office somewhere, you know, it makes the great games that much more special, and it makes you appreciate them that much more because not everybody gets to see them.
Well, you know, speaking of great games, one of the games that I know we did some videos after the Thanksgiving English classical game 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago on the calendar, if you will, or less. And with the classical miracle comeback over Lynn English, but some of those views those were the biggest views that we had on our videos and different things during that game. But that was a crazy Thanksgiving football game, and that was one of the games you were at, right?
It was, and you know, I kind of got lucky where I've done three Thanksgiving games, and two of them have been Marblehead Swampscott, and neither of them have been all that good games. But my middle one was classical English, and that was the only classical English one really worth watching the past 3 years because they've been kind of rough otherwise, you know. And I mean, the game this year was totally lopsided with English winning, but that game was just it was wild. So many twists and turns, and trying to decipher what you had just seen was crazy. And then going home and, you know, my mom calling me and saying, you know, like, what happened? I saw all this stuff on Twitter. Like, were you at that game? Yeah. And seeing, you know, these kids on ESPN, Marcus Rivera, like, talking to ESPN, it's wild. And that was a kind of cool connection to just, like, to show that, you know, even just here in Lynn, there are crazy things that happen.
Yeah. You know, I always looked at the Thanksgiving games. You know, I did the Beverly-Salem game for years, and the last maybe 9-10 years, whatever, as I've been at the classical English game, and there have been some good games. You're right about the scores on on the last ones, but they were well competed games. This year's game, not so close. You're right about that piece, but you know, I always look at that as it's like teams that, like, both these two teams this year were coming in with great records, so that has been a little bit unique, although the games have been good the last number of years. It's funny, this year's teams both came in with great records, and it wasn't that great of a game. I'll be honest with you, a few years ago, the teams did not have great records, but they were fantastic games in some ways. But, you know, there's always like this thing where if the game, it's still Thanksgiving, it's still your rival, and it's so nice to win, but so painful to lose for those players and coaches.
You know, it's something that I hadn't really experienced, I don't think, until I came out here. You know, of course, I grew up in a small town in Western Mass, and of course we had a Thanksgiving game, but football just, you know, we didn't have very good football teams. It just wasn't the same. The passion wasn't the same. So seeing, you know, just the devastation on one side, the celebration on the other. It's, you know, I just love seeing that just pure emotion. And I don't think that you get it quite anywhere else like you do in high school.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for these kids, especially if it's your last football game ever, it feels like the most devastating thing in the world at that time, for a few minutes. And so it's not, that part's not fun to watch, but I just love taking it all in because, you know, they'll remember that forever.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. This is a totally off-the-wall question here, but I was talking to somebody about this the other day. So you see how players, boys, react to losses. Mm-hmm. What about girls? You know, let me throw this one at you. It seems to me, I know that when the girls' teams, some of them lose, you know, yeah, they do take it hard. But yet, on the other hand, maybe within 30 minutes, they're bouncing back, and you wouldn't know they just lost a game. You know what I'm saying? And I know there are boys that are the exact same way, too. I get that piece. It's not all about winning and losing, but it's funny how that is, that you think, oh, they must be devastated, and then they, you know, they're smiling, they're happy. And that's great, you know?
That's definitely true. And speaking as someone who played sports in high school, too, and was the same way, you know, you feel it real intensely for about 5 minutes, and then you just kind of move on, and there's, you know, just on to the next thing. I, you know, girls, especially high school girls, are really funny in that way. I think I remember, it must have been a St. Mary's girls game where they got knocked out in the playoffs, but they had gone farther than they probably thought they had. You know, they were a low seed. They probably weren't looking to the North Finals or whatever, and they were all really upset after the game. But then a few minutes later, after everything had calmed down, the smiles were back. And it's just nice to see that. Like, it stings, but I feel like it's, these kids can bounce right back. And that's nice to see.
You know, here's another one, too, is that I think that I look at coaches, and I talk to coaches. Talked to Matt Durgan just recently about, you know, and he says, I know, he basically said, I don't know if this was in the interview or not, or after the interview, but, you know, I just like going to practice. I could spend all day out on the practice field. Well, you know, but we kind of make note of things when they're in big games, when they're, you know, whether it be Thanksgiving or the playoffs or whatever like that. But I, one of the other things I do remember is being at the Garden a year or so ago when Bishop Fenwick showed up. Mm-hmm. So they're in the championship game at the Garden, and I happened to get in there early so I wouldn't be late. But I brought my work with me, so I'm sitting right at courtside at the Boston Garden for an afternoon game, and the Bishop Fenwick girls are going to be hitting the court to play a team from the South Shore there. And, you know, it was always interesting to watch these girls come out. Probably boys would have been even more, maybe I shouldn't say this, but even more dazed by walking out onto the floor at the Garden. But these girls are walking out, and they're, you know, they're taking their selfies, but yet they're taking it all in. What else can you do? You're like an hour before the game, and you're walking around and so on. But just being a part of that environment, and I know that that's a big reward for kids to get to a venue like that.
It definitely is, and I mean, I gotta say that when I walked out onto that parquet for the first time, I was pretty dazed, you know, just looking up, and I, you know, said to some of the kids, I think, I can't remember which game it was the first time I went there, but, you know, I'm like, how are you taking this all in, you know, with your, they're showing you up on the Jumbotron, you know, up on the screen, and it always amazes me that these kids, once they get into game mode, it's like it doesn't matter where they're playing. Yeah. They could be playing in their high school gym or at the Garden, and they seem to be all business. And I think that's, you know, a credit, obviously, to all of these great coaches who, you know, can keep them on the right track. But what a feeling it must be to be able to, you know, be a half an hour from the Garden and to be able to earn that chance. It's amazing.
Let me throw this one at you here. So what's the hardest thing about, you know, writing for the paper? I mean, you have. I'm just trying to think out. Maybe not to help you out here, but you have deadlines. You have like a lead sentence or two to write, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the hard? And you want to capture the story. That part, you know, you guys do a great job on that piece. But what's the hardest thing about writing a game story? And I know also you've done columns now too, but game stories.
For game stories, so I've found deadline is definitely, you know, a challenge, and I feel like you get used to it after a while. To me, the hardest part has been getting everyone on the same page. Sometimes you'll talk to coaches where you'll have recorded that a goalie made 20 saves, and then you talk to them and they say they made 13, and then you talk to the other coach and they estimate 25, and it's so hard. It's almost like you're not entirely sure what the reality is sometimes, because there's It's not like,
I wonder why.
Right.
I think I know why. I wonder that I see the issue here.
Right, exactly. And so it's like everybody kind of, it's not like this all the time, but a lot of cases, different people see different things. And so it's hard to take all of these different sides and kind of find that middle and hope that you got it right. Because, you know, you're only human too. And I mean, for sports like basketball or lacrosse, anything where they score frequently, you might miss one. And you think that you know. You think you know and you got it right. But nobody is ever quite sure because a lot of times it's not recorded. And if it is, you can't watch it back right away. So that's been the challenge, I think, for me, mostly.
You know, one of the things I used to like about the radio piece was you do a game, you wrap it up, and if you were wrong, let's say you were wrong, it's in the moment, and it's gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On the other hand, in the newspaper, I get it. It's like, it's there on my doorstep in the morning. It's also there at night later on. It's there 3 days from now, and as my wife would complain, it's there a month from now. You know, it still hasn't been thrown out or recycled. But, you know, that's the thing. It becomes kind of a historical document in a way. And you do want those things to be right.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a great thing about we don't worry as much when things are online because you can go back and change it. But that is the really unique thing about a newspaper is that your words are down there. And once you hit send on those pages, they have to go out at 11:15. And whatever is on those pages at 11:15 is what's going to be there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there that's one part of the job I definitely will not miss is driving home at 1 in the morning or waking up at 3 a.m. and being like, oh my goodness, did I put up the wrong name? Did I change that headline?
Yeah.
Did I? And it's it keeps you on your toes, that's for sure.
That's right. And headlines, too. That's another thing, too, is that, you know, do newspapers have a formula for headlines at all or not? Or is it just kind of like, that's what I struggle with, headlines. How do you write a headline?
That has been a big learning curve for me as well. And, you know, my boss, Steve Krause, he loves to do headlines. But he's usually not there when I'm writing headlines at 10:30. So kind of on my own. So I try to veer away from the typical boring, you know, this is what happened headlines. I really had to up my pun game. And I feel like, you know, now I'm very punny. Try and put that to good use. But...
You have a favorite headline? Do you have a headline or not? No, that's not. You don't have to come up with an answer. You know what I noticed is like, I remember, I think it was Channel 7 News changed this, is that they always had it like the, they always had the alliteration with the stories, like the sizzling summer weather, you know, like, you know, they always had the two words together that were, you know, parallel kind of words. That's how their headlines are always teased. I think to this day they still do that.
That's kind of my bread and butter too. See, just did it there. So impressive. But that was always what I fell back on, was trying to do alliterations, because at least it sounds good when you read it out loud. But you know, it's also so tricky because you have to be careful. You don't want to write, you know, I think I wrote one last night where I felt it was like a little mean towards one of the teams. And it's like you have to be conscious of the fact that you're not writing about pros, you know, you're not writing about the Red Sox crushing the Yankees. You're writing about these kids who are putting out all of their effort and, you know, are just trying their best. It's tough.
I remember a headline. I won't mention the person's name, but it wasn't in the item. Okay.
Thank
so
goodness.
There you go. So, but it was an election story and there was an alliteration in the name, but basically it was the name of the town. So here's an election result. A selectman loses. Okay. Town. And then the word dump. And then the guy's name, which started with D. So in other words, or dumps rather. So in other words, they voted this a selectman out. But it was like seemingly unnecessarily mean headline, you know, in other words. I always, you know, you're looking for words like loses, tops, you know, somebody beats somebody, edges, you know, whatever. But, you know. But you're right. Sometimes you can select a word that comes out a little bit mean.
It definitely does. And I think sometimes you get to the point, you know, with your coworkers and stuff where when you're talking to each other, it's not really mean.
No.
But you have to, like, really think about, you know, somebody's grandmother is going to read this. And if I put, you know, Saugus demolishes Peabody or whatever, then some Peabody grandmother is going to be like, well, my grandson did a good job. And, you know, you don't want to offend anyone. And that was always a really hard thing for me, is I hate offending anyone. I don't want to upset anyone. I don't want to step on anyone's toes. So trying to both do your job and please everybody is definitely a challenge.
Oh, here's another one for you that I know. I don't think you can escape this. I can kind of blush over this, and I don't mind saying this either. But you know, when some kid, there's a game recently. Well, a few years ago, maybe now. I won't even date it. But anyways, game's tied. I think basketball. So imagine this: you're tied, and you get fouled shooting a 3-point shot. All you have to do is make one of those shots or something or other, and you either tie it or win it or whatever it was. And the kid misses all three shots. Now, how painful is that? I mean, and do you really want to put that in? You know, we don't necessarily put that stuff in the story, but in some ways you can't ignore it. But yet, you know, it's a really tough thing, and because it's just so unfair, because anybody can miss foul shots, and they're kids. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world.
You know, it's funny. So I'll tell a story. When I was interning, I interned with the Red Sox for a little while, and I wrote a story on WEEI's website, and it was vaguely critical of a certain player. And I went into the clubhouse the next day, and that player would not speak to me, would not look at me, was just so angry at me. And I kind of, like, learned that everything that you say, like, somebody's going to see it. And so you have to be really, really delicate about how you criticize people or how you call people out. And so, you know, when it is kids, when it's a junior in high school, it's hard to write that stuff. You know, you have to write what happened, but you don't want to call someone out or put someone in that position. You know, I had a picture of a Danvers soccer player after, I think it was, might have been last season, whenever they didn't win the state championship. Oh, so 2 years ago, yeah, when they didn't. Yeah. And she was laying on the ground as the team celebrated in the back. And I kept going back and forth about whether or not I should use it, because I'm like, well, I feel bad for her, you know? I think I ended up going with it. Yeah. But it keeps you up at night sometimes. Definitely does.
Now, that sounds like a good picture, though. I mean, it's just the victory, the heartbreak of defeat. I mean, that's fine. I have no problem with that one. Here's one, though. Here's another story for you. You talk about, it used to be the newspapers, this is years ago now, they used to pick winners and losers in football games, and they still do some of that. Mm-hmm. But then they'd also put a snappy little phrase, or you know, like I kid people about this. They used to put a little phrase next to it, and some of those were mean, you know. So I do remember being out at a game after one night. This was years and years ago. And the sports writer who picked against this team is there. And I don't know whether he had a smart phrase in it or not. I don't know that he did necessarily. But the coach was really upset because they end up winning the game. Mm-hmm. And now this reporter from the other town is in town. So it's not the anonymous guy. And coach is really upset at this reporter. You know, it's like, from that night on, I learned, don't pick games, Bill. Don't even get into that, because you automatically made an enemy. You made somebody upset, you know. Mm-hmm. And not that you made an enemy, but it's like, wait a minute, we don't really need to do this kind of thing. Although people kind of like that in a way, but on the other hand, whatever, you know.
You know, it's the line I've been trying to toe the entire 3 years I've been there. You know, when I started writing columns, I think maybe like 2 years ago, Steve wanted me to start writing. And it was really hard to like give my opinion when I had to give a negative one. And, you know, it's you want to please everybody, and you want to make sure that these relationships that you have to maintain aren't ruined by something stupid that you say in the paper. Yeah. And, you know, it's a really fine line to walk, and it's a hard thing to teach other people, too, like to really be careful. Everything you say, you kind of have to be careful about it.
Yeah, you're right. And it's easy when you, like, if you're a columnist doing columns in the item, it's easy to load up and criticize somebody, something in Boston, you know, opposed to something over at Lynn Tech or something. You know, I'm just using that as an example. But, you know, that's just much easier to do. Well, Katie, I don't want to hold you any longer, but I mean, I don't know if you have anything else that maybe we were talking about, you want to follow up on at all?
I just want to say that, like, when I was an athlete in high school, I feel like I didn't appreciate my coaches maybe as much as I should have. You know, you get upset when they make you run or they whatever. But I've met so many different coaches through my time here, and administrators and athletic directors and assistant coaches, volunteers in the community who just put so much into making these sports happen. There's a guy over with Lynn Little League named Paul Hartford who, you know, he wrote a whole book compiling like all of these records and rosters from the history of the city series. And I was just amazed by like you know, the passion that people have. And so, you know, I just want to say that, like, this whole community, the North Shore, Lynn, everything is just, it's a special community, and I just think that there are such great people who put in so much work to make everything run smoothly and to give these kids a place to play and a platform to do it.
Yeah, and I'll say one more thing, too. I think that, you know, I think the local newspapers, you know, some towns only have a weekly paper. Mm-hmm. Some towns, you know, in your case, it's a daily paper. But I think people, it's underappreciated that sports coverage and how to depend on it and what that means to so many different people, and to the students, to the coaches, to the school communities, and so on. And so, you know, that, you know, sometimes we all get maligned at different things that we do, but I think that people really, it's something that, you know, don't take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? That will always be there. You never know how things change in this day.
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. It's like, you know, there are places where kids don't have these opportunities, and I just feel like, you know, just, I wish everyone would keep that in mind, you know, when things don't go the way you want and when things are not the way they maybe should be, that there are people behind these programs that are just giving so much time, and you know, I just want them to know that they're appreciated too, the same way that any of us want to be appreciated, I guess.
Well, Katie, best of luck to you. Again, you've done a great job at the item. I'll get almost 3 years there, and now on to Clark University for your job there in the athletic department. But you did great work, writing and photos, all right? So now you're going to bring your camera with you, or is that the item's camera? You have to leave that back at the paper.
That is my baby,
okay.
And it will go with me everywhere. Yeah, they are already excited about my photos over at Clark, and they haven't even seen them yet. So when they do, hopefully they'll be even more excited. But I love doing it, and I'll still be around. So hopefully, you know, I'll see some people out in the community still.
Gotcha. All right. There she is, Katie Morrison, with us here, and I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSO News Sports.